Praise.
We are the church, and we are the house of God. Amen?
Amen.
And so I'm excited this morning because in spite of everything that's happening in our world, and things are not going to get much better. That's why the Bible says the just shall live by faith. But God is still in control. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Secondly, I'm excited this morning because, you know, we don't dot every I, we don't cross every T. We've all sinned to come short of God's glory. But in spite of that, God is still speaking to us. And so there's a word coming from the Lord today. And thirdly, I'm excited because as we've heard testimony that people have traveled from far and near. And you could have stayed this morning in bed. You could have been watching TV, still sleeping late. But you chose to come out to the house of God and to hear his word and to worship him in spirit and in truth. And because of that, let's give yourselves a hand clap of praise. Amen. Hallelujah. As I said, there's a word coming from the Lord. I want to thank Brother Kevin for being the best dawn forerunner in the country. Amen. He always sets the stage for the preached word of God, and I thank God for his faithfulness. Miss Becky, my hat's off to you, the ministry that you all do down here. Moms, God bless you. You know I love you dearly. Amen. Miss Becky was showing my daughter Ronchelle and I a picture of her and my children years ago when they were probably about 5-6 years old. They were tiny. Eden is now 18, Bethany's about to turn 20. And I was just reminding Miss Becky that, you know, my children, of course, grew up in church all their lives. But at our home church, we couldn't get our children to go off to Sunday school. They would not go to Sunday school. No matter, they offered them candy. They tried to bribe them. They would not go to Sunday school. They would just cry the entire time. But when they came here to the wilderness with Miss Becky, they went to Sunday school, and we pretty much haven't seen them since. Amen. So when they get to church, they go, they do their thing. But I just thank God for that because it says something about the ministry here at the wilderness. Wise has been not only a blessing to my family, but the numerous people who have traveled through here year after year after year. And I thank God. So let's give these faithful people a hand clap of praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Now to the preaching of the gospel. If you would turn with me to Psalm 127 in your Bibles. Psalm 127. Brother Kevin's going to let us know what page that is in the pew Bibles.
479.
479. Amen. Page 479. And when you get there, if you'd say amen. Psalm 127. I'm just going to read and you're hearing the first two verses, okay? The first two verses. Verse 1 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Amen. We'll stop there. And I want to continue our thought and our theme as I started the last time I was here a couple of weeks ago. I stated that in my travels down here and on the Sundays that I will be sharing the messages here at the campgrounds, I will be preaching on the subject of God's design for the family. God's design for the family. And on last week, we began by talking about what it meant for God to design a family. What did the word design mean? And we talked about the word design meaning a plan or a drawing that is produced to show the look and function or working of a building, of a garment or other object before it is built or made. And so the thing that we were saying is that the fact that God wants to design a family, we said that what God has done is God has produced a drawing. He has produced a plan. He has produced a design that will show the proper look and proper function or working of a family the way it's supposed to function and the way it's supposed to be built. But the thing that we said about that also is that not just anybody can build a family. Can I get an amen? Not just anyone can build a family. And we talked about the fact that only God can build a family that is designed to be the way that God wants it to be. We read here in the scripture where it says, except the Lord. In other words, the Lord, the one and true living God, Jehovah, the self-existing God, the eternal God, the national name of God, which means not only is God the only one who can build a family here in the United States, but he's the only one who can build a family correctly in the entire world. Rather, it's in Africa or Russia or China or Japan or here. It doesn't matter. It is the same blueprint. It is the same design that God has set in place for every family to become what it should become. The other thing that we talked about was, as we said, only God can design and build our family. The second thing that we said was, there is a necessity for God to build. And we talked about the word construct. Okay? We said the word build means to construct something by putting parts or material together, which means that we have to be built up. God brought us into existence, but we have to be built up, which means a family has to be constructed. A family has to be put together. Children being born, husbands and wives getting married, is not necessarily what makes a family. What makes a family is the marriage, the children being conceived, and then putting ourselves and our children in the hands of God so that he can construct us. And when God constructs us, that is the only way we can function properly. Amen. Okay? So therefore, we talked about the synonym of building, which means to erect, set up, shape, mold, form. All right? The Hebrew word is bana, and it means to build or repair. And we said that that is really good news for us, because there are many families that are broken. There are many families that are torn. There are many families that may feel like, I failed. I didn't get it right. I didn't follow God's blueprint, and it's too late. But the word build is not just from scratch. It also means to repair, which means it's great news for all families, even families that are torn and broken. It says clearly that the Lord can repair any family that is broken. And we, in our society, in our country, in our communities, we become so discouraged because we feel like whatever is broken can't be fixed. And I just want you to see today that it's not that families can't be repaired. It's that we're trying to do the repairing instead of allowing God to. So the question becomes, why are we not, or why are families not allowing God to do the necessary repairs? I think it goes back to trust. I was talking to my pastor earlier this week, and as we were having conversation, we come together and we talk about like messages that we're preaching, how things are going in churches, and basically what's happening in our world and around us. And one of the things that he and I were talking about is trust. How do we respond when things do not go the way we think they are supposed to? If you have a sick child, you ask God to heal the child, but he doesn't, do we still trust God? If Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were here today, they would say, we were threatened to be thrown in the burning fiery furnace. And we said to the king, we have not even considered to bow down to your graven image, because we trust God. And we know that even if God does not deliver us, it's not because he isn't able. He is able. So they allowed themselves to be thrown into a burning fiery furnace because they trusted God. And he did deliver them. Okay? So I think that trust is the biggest issue in our society when it comes to trusting God, when it comes to putting all of our confidence in Him. And another reason why I say that is because if we really have confidence in God, why are we not getting our direction, instructions from His Word as opposed to every other source in this country? When it comes to the family, we must get our instructions from the Word of God. Another thing that we said last week was, in the introduction, was that God created male and female. And we talked about how that has become such a touchy subject. Because Christian families have children, uncles, cousins, that have become a part of the LGBTQ community. And they're torn between what God's word says and our relationship with our children or our family. And I know, my brothers and my sisters, it is difficult. It is not easy when you have children, when you have family members that are living a lifestyle, not just the LGBTQ. We're not here to pick on any particular group of people. Because there are families that are strung out on drugs. There's families that are strung out on alcohol, gambling, shopping, many different addictions. But whenever a family member is living a particular lifestyle that is not pleasing to the Lord, how do we respond? Do we stray off course from how God says the family is supposed to function and be constructed? Or do we stick with what the Word of God says? And the warning that the psalmist gives us here is that if we do anything other than staying with the Word of God, it's in vain. That's exactly what he's warning us here about. And today we're going to see that he leaves the household. He leaves from inside of personal, individual families in their homes. And he takes this to the communities. Look at what he says in verse 1 again. It says, except the Lord build the house, the family, they labor in vain that build it. Okay? They labor in vain that build it. This is except the Lord keep the city. The watchman waketh, but in vain. In the second part of verse 1, the same idea of dependence is here repeated, but in another form. And so the three things that God's going to say in the second part of the verse is the exact same three things that he says in the first part of the verse. In the first part, he basically says, only God can design and build a family. And the second part, he says, only God can design and build a community. In the first part, he says, there's a necessity for God to build. Okay? And when he says there's a necessity for God to build, he's saying God cannot build what we don't give him permission to build. God cannot build what we do not put in his hands, because God's not taking anything from us by force. He gave us free will choice. So he says, just like with the families in our homes, he says the same thing with our communities. There's a necessity to build our communities, and our communities cannot be built unless we let God build it. The danger that I see here in this context of scripture, my brothers and my sisters, is that, and this is something that faithful Christians cannot control, we can only pray about and do our part. We cannot control what somebody else is producing in our community. Can I get an amen there? But what we can do is control what we are producing out of our homes. We can't control what anybody else is producing. So the question becomes is, how did our communities, how did our country get to where it is? It started in the homes. Homes started producing families that were not erected and built and constructed by God. And when that happens, my brothers and my sisters, When that happens, a part of community and society starts to be formed that is contrary to the will of God. And it has an impact on all of us. We see in the Old Testament all the way through where there were generations that grew up who knew not God. And when these generations grew up and they knew not God, they lived however they wanted to. And society began to decay. And what's happening today, my brothers and my sisters, is our society is decaying. And we as the just have to live by faith. And living by faith means that we've got to look at God's design, get back to allowing God to design our families and our communities. And when we do that, and only when we do that, will our communities begin to change its shape and form to a godly manner. Okay? So now I want to talk a little bit in the second part of this verse about what this means. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. I want to talk about the word waketh. When it says a watchman waketh, but in vain, the Hebrew word is shakad, and it literally means to be sleepless. What it's talking about is someone who's trying to protect something, and they are awake, but they're not awake because they're intentionally staying awake. They are awake because they're having sleepless nights. And it is a warning to us that we are going to continue, if we are, we're going to continue to have sleepless nights. If we keep trying to build our families our way, if we keep trying to strengthen communities our way, we're going to keep having sleepless nights. It paints a picture that the only way that we get to the point to where we start having peaceful, calm, tranquility nights of flourishing sleep is when we realize that everything's in God's hands and we leave it there. That's what the word waketh means. It's not when you set your alarm so you can go to another shift to watch over the city. It paints a picture that you're having sleepless nights. Because you're doing everything you can to protect the city, but yet the city still isn't protected. We're doing everything we can to try to make our communities better, but our communities aren't getting better. We got to ask ourselves the question, why is it that we have set up food pantries? Why is it that we've opened up the doors of our church, you know, for prayer time for people to come and prayer lines, and we have sermons online, and we have church every week. And then we ask the question, why are our communities not getting better? Is the church failing? And the question is, it's not that the church is failing. The problem is that people are not trusting. I say this to encourage us because we can only do what we are have been assigned to do. We train up our children. We teach them that God's design is what we live out, is what we practice. And we teach them to carry that on to their children. And their children down through the generations. That's what happens. When we look at certain areas in our country, in our cities, how did we get to the point to where we have projects where children are stealing cars and robbing people? And with all the crime that's happening in our country, my brothers and my sisters, it's not hard to figure out. They started all these different programs. The government is approving all these different grants to try to help children in our communities, to try to help families. And none of those programs include God's design, Brother Kevin. They don't include God's design. And then they're scratching their heads after billions of dollars have been spent and families have gotten no better. And God says it's because his design is not being used. And so he talks about all that, and it's in vain. When we look at the pandemic that has taken place, there was no plan drawn up by our government to get more people in church and to get in God's plan in the Word of God. No, there were plans drawn up to just give people money. And then after people got money, they said, well, hey, I'll just sit here and eat and be merry. And in the same position, it was in vain. It doesn't work. Only his word is what works. He says in verse 2, it is vain for you to rise up early. Here it is. In other words, when he says it is vain for you to rise up early, he's saying mere early rising without God's blessing would not secure what they hope to accomplish. He's not saying that getting up early is a problem or that you shouldn't get up early, but he's saying that people's mentality is, if I just get up early, if I just stay up late, if I just had more time in the day, he said, then I could get the things done and then things would work. It's not the answer. He's saying, and here in the text, my brothers and my sisters, he's saying it is vain for you to rise up early. It is meaningless. It is not going to work. That mere early rising without God's blessing. He says, no matter what time you get up in the morning to accomplish what you want to accomplish, if God's favor and protection is not in it, it still will be in vain. You want to know how people can work all their lives and then at the end of their career and retirement and everything and still feel empty? How does that happen? It's from years of getting up early, staying up late, but never trusted God. And at the end of a long life, feeling empty because it's in vain. It doesn't work. So he says, rising up early without God's blessing, without God's protection and favor, without trusting him, would not secure what we had hoped to accomplish. For everything is still in the hands of God. That's what he's saying here. It is vain for you to rise up early. And then he says, to sit up late. In other words, he says, sitting up late will not accomplish that object either, because people are still dependent on God for success, though they do it themselves. He says, saints, to sit up late. Sitting up late, worrying, stressed out, anxiety, depression. Where did all of this come from? How has this happened to so many people in our country? There's medication for everything. For ADD. Attention deficit disorder. For ADHD. Those are real assessments. And the solution is medication. A pill. The solution is right here in this book, in God's word. And I know some people will say, well, preacher, I've tried that. And then the question becomes, how long? Because I remember when God told Abraham, you're going to have a child. And at some point, Sarah says, well, we've tried that, God. Now we're going to do it our way. Hagar, you go in with Abraham. And then here comes Ishmael. Problems. 25 years later, here comes God's breakthrough. And when it's done God's way, that's when things work out. So when people say, I've already tried that, the question becomes, how long? God's blessings do not come in our timing. They always come in his. And I'm glad they come in his timing, because his timing is perfect. It's perfect. He paints a picture of people who are trying to build on their own. They're getting up early. They're sitting up late. And then he says, to what? To eat the bread of sorrows. Let's look at what he's talking about here when he says to eat the bread of sorrows. In other words, he's saying, after all that, and all you're getting from it, the result is the bread of anxiety and trouble. Now, when I say anxiety and trouble, that we're not talking about the fact that you're experiencing trouble externally. It's talking about the fact that after all of that, you're still troubled on the inside, internally. Because lack of trust in God only produces internal anxiety and trouble. We scratch our heads trying to figure out how we're going to get something done, how we're going to accomplish it. Because at the end of the day, we come to the conclusion, there's no way I can do that. There's no way I can accomplish that. And that's where the trouble comes in. But when we keep it in God's hands, I read where it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I read where it said that God will supply all of my needs according to his glory through Christ Jesus. I read where it says that he will never leave me, nor will he ever forsake me. If we trust in him with all of our hearts and lean not to our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge him, he will direct our path straight. And right there, I want to share a little testimony with you. And give me about 5 minutes and I'll be finished. I want to share a little testimony with you. At the age of 30, my father passed away of a massive stroke. He's my best friend. And when he passed away, my mom, who's sitting here today, she and I were sitting at our dining room table. We had a little round dining room table. And she was in tears and mom was distraught. And I remember that day she was crying. And she said, Ron, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? How am I going to make it? And in that moment, I didn't really know what to say, because in that moment, it was 23 years ago. And I had only been saved for 4 months. So what I did was, I said, Mom, I said, don't worry, I'll take care of it. You see, I'll take care of it. I'm going to build this house. And I wanted to make my mom feel better, but deep down on the inside, I knew I couldn't take care of it, because we thought my dad had insurance, but he didn't. So now we got funeral expenses, we got bills. And when I told her, I said, I'll take care of it, she calmed down and she felt better. And in the next few days, she was okay. She was doing what she needed to do. And then the reality hit me. You can't take care of this. And in that moment, I was in the home alone, and I got on my knees and I cried out to God after getting a phone call from the funeral home saying, we need our finances. And I cried out to God and I said, God, I don't have it. And I had to admit, God, I can't fix this. And I said, only you can. And when I got up off my knees, I didn't know how God was going to fix it, Brother Kevin, but I believed he was going to fix it. 2 days went by and the phone rang, and it was a representative from Gulf Life Insurance saying, we heard that your father passed and there's a check we need to get out to you. And I said, yes, my father did pass. I said, but he didn't have any insurance, sir. I said, I have to be honest. And he said, what's your father's name? I said, Arthur Johnson. And he said, Arthur S. I said, no, my dad didn't have a middle name. I said, that's my brother. This is the God's truth. I'm being honest with you. I said, that's my brother. It's not my father. And this is what he said to me. He said, young man, he said, let me tell you something. He said, I just buried my father 2 weeks ago. And he said, I know firsthand how difficult it is to bury a loved one. He says, all I know is God told me to call your family and to get a check out to you. And he says, and that's what I'm going to do. Give me your address. The check came, paid for my dad's total funeral expenses. And then they sent a remainder amount to my mother. Except the Lord build a house. Except the Lord watch over the city. Those of us who try to do it in our own strength are doing it in vain. We need to let God build what only He can build, my brothers and my sisters. The bread of sorrow is anxiety and trouble. It is bread earned or produced by the severity of toil. It is what we get paid when we don't trust God. Our communities will only get better if people start to trust God. And it is time out for people who keep saying, I trust God, I do trust God, I do trust God. But if you're not reading God's word, if you're not in some sort of teaching setting on a regular, consistent basis, if you're not practicing what God's word says, you're not trusting it. You're toiling in your own strength. And that, my brothers and my sisters, is what's happening to our families. It's what's happening to our community. It's what's happening to our cities. It's what's happening to our states. And it is what's happening to our nation. It is what's happening to this world. It is so sad when people who live in third world countries and have almost nothing have a greater love for God than we do in this country, who have more than what we need. That's where we are. So what do we do about our communities? What do? We do our part. When we have an opportunity to encourage someone, when God opens that door, we can't force anything on anyone, but when God opens a door, when you're out with your children and you're out with your family and somebody sees you and somebody asks you a question about where you're from, when they compliment you on how beautiful your family is, don't just say thank you. Just say, we wouldn't have our beauty had we not allowed God to build us. That's what you say. And if God opens up that door, you talk with Him about how God has built your family and how He will do the same thing for theirs. Amen? Hallelujah. My time is up, and I thank you for yours. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Before we move into our Holy Communion, I do want to ask if everyone would please bow your heads and close your eyes, as I want to give an invitation to discipleship. Perhaps there's someone here today who heard this preaching, who heard this teaching about the importance and the significance of building a family, and you've come to the conclusion that only God can build your family. And you realize today that you don't have a relationship with God. But after hearing God speak to your heart, you realize you need that relationship with Him. And you want God to build your family. God builds our families by, first of all, starting to dwell in our hearts. Dwelling in the hearts of every individual of the family. If you're here today and if you've never been born again, if you've never invited Jesus into your heart, would you just raise your hand and then put it back down? If you've never invited him in your heart. Hallelujah. I didn't see any hands go up. That means that everyone has done.